Blog Talk Radio.
Microphone check one, microphone check two. It's your boy Lee, Liam Keys, Real Talk, coming live and direct at you tonight. Oh, man, we got a great show for you tonight. We got a lot to talk about, so we're going to keep the intro short and sweet. Hey, Keys, how it go, buddy? How you doing tonight?
How's it going, man? I'm locked in. I'm good. I'm ready. Let's go right into it.
Yeah, man. So, you know, last week, we talked about a lot last week, but it was something I wanted to talk about today. Yeah, the last 2 weeks, yeah. But it was something I wanted to talk about.
We didn't have two shows worth of material. We had about four shows worth of material in the last two shows. If you really, there might have been like five shows worth, maybe six. That's probably our two most information-packed shows that I can remember us ever doing.
Well, you know, these are, you know, when it's pay-per-view weekend, these are shows we really like to do, because you know we get to do fight breakdowns and predictions, and you know that's always fun. But I gotta jump off the realm of the UFC real quick. Last week I wanted to talk about Mike Perry, and you know we ran out of time, so Keith said, "Hey Lee, you could do it next week." So I'm gonna make it real quick. Mike Perry was a mediocre UFC fighter. You know, he was a guy that he talked better than he fought. But, you know, sometimes what you're doing isn't what you are meant to do. And I think Mike Perry is meant to do bare knuckle fighting, Keys. The guy looks like he looks at home in that type of environment. And every guy that gets in there that was a former UFC guy or, you know, former Bellator guy that steps in there against him, he destroys them, man. Remember with Luke Rockhold, he made quit. This weekend, Eddie Alvarez was advised to quit because of his orbital bone. It's good to see Mike Perry doing the thing that he liked to do with his fight, but doing it in a form of fighting that better suits him. MMA wasn't his thing. Not at all. Only thing he could do in MMA was strike. He couldn't wrestle. He couldn't defend takedowns. And bare knuckle, he don't have to worry about that. Just let your hands go. Be aggressive. And he's found his home, man. What'd you think about Mike Perry and bare knuckle, man? Do you agree with the sentiment I'm making? Do you like that he's found a home? And I know you kind of turned me on to bare knuckle. I still think it's a little backyardish to me. But, hey, one thing about it, they make them guys get in there and throw punches. Ain't no, you ain't going to get in there and be dancing around. They don't play that. So how do you feel about Mike Perry, man? I'm going to call it the Mike Perry redemption story.
Yeah, I love it for him. I think it's cool. You know, it's like he's pretty much – he's the face of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, if you ask me. I mean, he's easily the face of the brand, and that's cool. You know, it's like let it be – you know, I'm happy for him, and I'm happy that the face of Bare Knuckle is a guy like Mike Perry who loves to fight. You know what I mean? He's competitive. You know what I mean? In the press conference with most of what I've seen from him back and forth with his opponents, it's just competitive talk. You don't really hear the type of trash talk where it's, you know, or your wife, or you know, your religion, or you know, whatever thing that it is. You know, he doesn't. You see him really with like competition. You know, talk. So, you know, versus Luke Rockhold was, you know, you're not going to be able to handle. You know, you're not going to be able to handle my power or what are you saying. Then, you know, to Eddie Alvarez, it was, you know, how are you going to get it done? Like, you're not built for this or whatever. Where he said something to Eddie Alvarez, and what he was saying, I was like, oh, he can talk. He's earned the right to say what he's saying, because so far, I mean, he looks built for that game, and his opponents, you know, they can't handle what he brings in there. You know, he's a ferocious fighter, and I think bare knuckle was Mike Perry was made for that, you know, and we didn't know that at first, but, you know, now it's definitely true, so I'm happy for him.
Yeah, man, you know, he still do and say some things I don't like, but I won't get into it because this is a happy show and we are so excited. But Key, something put a smile on your face this weekend. Even though I wasn't in your presence, I could felt the smile coming through when you sent me the text message about the UFC bringing back their quarterly media scrums. Keys, tell me about it. Tell me why are you so excited about this?
Man, that's accurate too, because that smile did come across my face. I lit up, man. I was like, oh shit. I was like, here we go, baby. And you know what's so crazy too is that, did you know that it's this week?
It's Friday?
So it's this
it's
Friday.
Thursday
so
or Friday?
It's Friday, so we're going to get the UFC 296 press conference will be tomorrow night, and then the following night we're going to have the seasonal press conference, which is for the first quarter. You have the January, February, and March pay-per-view headliners at that card. And it's the way they're going to do it is still not as large of a scale as what we've seen in the past, like where you've had, but it is a step in that direction. You know, it's basically the same type of format. Back when, you know, you had the press conferences where, you know, this is old, like, Cowboy Cerrone. We're talking, like, 2015, 2016 Cowboy Cerrone. You know, it's probably 2015. You had McGregor at the press conference, Aldo, Cowboy Cerrone, Chad Mendez, you know, a whole bunch of RDA, whole bunch of dudes. You had, like, you probably had, like, anywhere from, like, 10 to 16 fighters. I want to say they had probably, like, 12 to 16 fighters off on the stage at once. And a lot of it was you had, like, guys that they could all potentially fight. You pretty much had all guys up there. You know, you had those press conferences, I feel like, were, like, 145 to, like, 170 press conferences, which all those guys could potentially fight. Now, this press conference is the same type of thing, but it's just on a smaller – they're heading in that direction. You know, the seasonal press conferences – the last time they had a seasonal press conference that I can remember – was the one back when Kevin Lee and Michael Chiesa got into a, you know, they almost fought at the last season of press conference that I can think of. I want to say that was before COVID, probably, like, you know, I don't even know. That was maybe 2017, 2018. And so, yeah, this one, I mean, they're going to have I'm pretty sure it's every main event fighter, and I want to say I think it's every main event and co-main event fighter of those three cards. I think that's 12. Yeah, they're going to have 12 fighters up on the stage. It's going to be crazy. I think an interesting thing there is, you know, you're going to start to have some of that crossover that gets me so excited, you know, because you're going to have two, you know, debatably the top, I mean, Marlon Vera is not the number one guy, phantom weight, but you have two of the, you know, the champion and one of the top 135ers, and then you have the champion and the number one 145er. You know, you're going to have Volkanovski and Teporia and Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera up on the same stage. And, you know, we have seen Sean O'Malley asked about a potential fight with Volkanovski down the line, you know. We have also seen Ilya Teporia and Sean O'Malley go back and forth on Twitter recently. We definitely saw that. So, and I'm sure Marlon Vera will interject himself in there somewhere. He'll get asked a question, and that'll go right there. But Yeah, I mean, you also have the 185 guys. It's crazy, man. It's going to be good. I would like to see them add even more names to it. Let's see who – reveal to us who's in April. I mean, put the April – put the next four fighters from the April card up there. Let's just get that while we at it. Obviously, that's probably not a thing. Things happening, but, yeah, I think it's going to be crazy, man. It's going to be crazy. I'm so excited. You were right. A smile did come across my face, and I'm pumped.
The crazy part is Keys has been calling for these media scrums to come back, I want to say, since early this year or, you know, middle this year. He's been asking for it, and the UFC has granted Keys his wish. Now, my thoughts on the media scrums is they're good form of entertainment, and it's a way of us getting to know the fighters a little better, especially depending on the type of questions they get asked. But, you know, I'm cool with just the main event and co-main event being at the scrum. But I'm one of the ones, I just hope it's good questions being asked. You know, in the past, Keys, me and you always had a problem with some of the questions that were being asked. They weren't questions that, you know, pertained to the fight that the person was coming, that the person was going into. You know, it was like silly questions. It's like, yo, ask them real questions, you know. Hey, I know you can't divulge too much of your fight strategy, but watching tape, what did you see? What did you see that make you feel positive you can come out with the W? Ask questions like that. That's the kind of stuff that I like. I don't want to know, hey, so if you win this fight, what kind of car are you going to go buy? Where's the after party at? I don't want to know that. I'm not there. I want to get into the fighter's mind, state of mind going into the fight. But once again, like I said, maybe I'm a little too serious when it comes to those type of things. But, you know, it's definitely a good form of entertainment. And it also leads to future fights. Like Keys was saying, somebody up there don't like somebody that's going to be up there, and they're going to talk their ish. They're going to let it be known that they don't like that person. So normally the back and forth get pretty good, but I'm glad they did bring it back because it is a form of entertainment and it is something that fans like. And basically, man, me and Keys need to get our media credentials, man. Every time I try to apply for one, they don't reply to my email. I'm trying to get me and Keys media credentials, so maybe we get a card on the East Coast, me and him can meet up and go to a card together, and we can actually do a media thing. But the UFC ain't cooperating with me on that, but we're going to still try to get it done. Keys, you know, any last words on the media scrums, bro?
No, I'm excited for it. I can't wait. You know, tomorrow it's, you know, watching the 296 and the seasonal media scrum back-to-back nights is really a treat for me this week. And I could use a treat this week, and really in the past couple of weeks I could use it. So I'm happy that they're doing it for me. Appreciate you, Uncle Dana. You've been listening to me on the show. And as far as the media credentials, I think it's funny that when I look into the media credentials, which I was probably about a month ago, I did some digging to see about us getting them, and they said that at least for the UFC, it's pretty hard to get. Like it sounded like that it's pretty doable to get media credentials for like most like regional events and a lot of these leagues, and they also say that it's pretty easy to get credentials for Bellator events as well. But for the UFC, I was reading some other people say that And they were some, like, much bigger brands than us that still got turned down for media credentials. So I guess for the UFC, their requirements are, you know, pretty high standard. You need to be, like, a massive brand to be able to get or a massive name, you know, journalist to be able to get those credentials. That's just what I read when I was digging into it. But it seems like, you know, a lot of the regional events and Bellator would be definitely doable. Maybe we got to go to a Bellator event, man. I know you probably hate to hear that, but I think that would be pretty cool too.
PFL. It's PFL now, bro.
Oh, yeah, Bellator PFL, exactly. Yeah, I think I want to say I saw that it was pretty doable to get to the PFL event too, and now that's the same company. So, yeah, of course it's going to be. But yeah, maybe that's the key. I wouldn't mind that. I think that'd be something I would be down to do. And it is, but it is funny though, because out of all the times that I've asked for and all the matchups that we predicted that ended up happening, who's to say that we're not a massive brand if the UFC is taking all of our ideas?
True. Plus, I noticed that a lot of people that work for the Scrap have media credentials. So I'm going to talk to one of the guys that I'm close with, and I'm going to see what he went through to get his, and then I'll report back to you and see what he told me, give you what he told me, then maybe that'll put us in the right direction to getting them. So I'll work on that this weekend, and I'll have more to report next week. So hopefully me and your boy, Keys, will have our certified media credentials going into 2024. So, hey, Keys, you had a very spirited response to Dana White talking about Aspinall, and a lot of people have been weighing in on this subject about Aspinall. Aspinall wants to defend the interim belt. He doesn't want to wait around for John Jones to fight Stipe. Now, Aspinall, when you accepted the fight to be the interim heavyweight champion, I'm quite sure this was explained to you what the case was going to be. You can't try to circumvent what the case is after the fact. But one thing about your boy Lee, I can change my mind, and I agree with you. But I'm going to let Key speak on this because I like what he said on Twitter today, and it made a lot of sense. I also like what Luke Thomas said today on Twitter, and it made a lot of sense. But I'm going to let Keys jump in here. Keys, what is the state of the heavyweight division, bro, going forward? What should we do, man? If you were Dana White for one day.
So I want to say this, right, is that I used to be the type of fan that would stick up for all these guys and kind of be, like, more into the, I guess you'd call it, like, politics side of it, where it's, like, talking about, like, oh, legacy and careers, and but this guy doesn't have to fight that guy, and, you know what I mean, this guy, you know, he doesn't owe them a fight or whatever it is, and I've mostly leaned away from that, you know what I mean? I'm not really that type of fan anymore. I'm kind of sick of that because it just promotes guys dodging guys and belts just sitting there on the counter and not being, you know, contested, and dudes just feeling like it's cool to just sit out for, you know, massive periods of time and getting away with it because there's no repercussions. Like, I'm just sick of all that shit, you know what I mean? I'm sick of these dudes, like, always doing this, and it's the same, and the thing is, too, it's, like, the same guys that do that, too, you know what I mean? It's really, like, the same couple guys that it's just, it just continuously happens with, and it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, the fact that no one talks about how often Israel Adesanya has fought since he's been in the UFC is just terrible. Like, with all the hate Israel Adesanya gets, how about we talk about how much work he puts in? How about we talk about that? Like, everyone has so much negative things to say about Israel Adesanya, but no one ever credits him for how hard he works. He's the hardest working fighter in the game. It's like Volkanovski came along, you know, a little bit after, but Volkanovski, him and Volkanovski are the two hardest working guys in the game, period. There's no debate. You know what I mean? Those dudes are solid. And how frequently are they fighting? And how frequently do they make excuses? They never make excuses. And, you know, you just got the same guys just always holding up divisions and doing all this shit. And you know what? The thing that sucks is that there's honestly two divisions in particular that have been doing this for the past 5 years or so. It's light heavyweight and heavyweight. Those two divisions have been doing this type of shit for the past 5 years, and it's absolutely insane. Like, and where it started was, and actually, light heavyweight, you might even, I mean, Cormier was not. See, it was even happening before that in light heavyweight, because really, Cormier sat out for a chunk of time with the belt before we even got to 2018. So really, it's been going, between those two divisions, this type of stuff been going on for the past, okay, we're going into 2024. Cormier sat on the belt, like, I want to say, I think it was like a year and change, year and a half, between when he won the belt versus Gustafson and the time that he fought, I want to say, Rumble in the second fight. I'm pretty sure that was like a year and change in between those two fights. So year and 3 months, year and 6 months, it doesn't matter. That's insane. He literally sat on the belt for that long. So basically, since 2016, and we're going to call it 8 years, for the past 8 years, from 2016 until 2024 at least, light heavyweight and heavyweight have been bullshitting with the titles. And really, for that first year and a half, was light heavyweight, and then they continued it. And today, they're still doing it, where we've literally had hot potato with the belt, you know, all year long. There's been like three different light heavyweight champions this year. There's been three different light heavyweight champions in 1 year. And I don't think any of those guys, like, even defended a belt. Like, you don't even have a title defense. Like, it's like every time either division has it's always like undisputed title fights. You never see title defenses in those two divisions because these guys are always bullshitting. It's always like, he has an injury, but he's still the champ, and, you know, he's an injury, but, like, it's John Jones, and he deserves to hold on to the belt for a year and a half. It's like, just, and all this bullshit, you know what I mean? It's always like this. Like, DC, when he waited between his Gustafson fight for the vacant title and fight in Rumble the second time, that was a year and change. Why was that even allowed? I don't know why. I can't tell you why. And it's just, it's just, and then Stipe, you know, 2018, fights DC, gets KO'd. And then, you know, DC is pushing for the Brock Lesnar fight. He's saying that he'll only, you know, fight Brock Lesnar. And then a year goes by, and he ends up rematching Stipe. In the meantime, Stipe was saying he would only fight DC. He wouldn't fight anybody else. And then after that, they fight finally for the second time. Over a year later, it was like a year and change later, they fight for the second time. Then after the second fight, we have to wait another year because once DC lost, that was the only fight that they would make. They said that they would only fight, they want to do the trilogy, and that was the only fight. DC would only take that. So it's just, you know what I mean? And then Stipe, you know, flash forward, and Ngannou beats Stipe. And then Stipe sits out again, and we have to wait. And Stipe won't fight, so he won't fight. And he said he'll only fight for the title after getting knocked out in the second round in a fight that he really didn't look good in at all. You know, just more entitlement. You know what I mean? Just more entitlement from these guys. And then we have to wait, you know, a whole bunch of time. For Stipe, and Stipe still hasn't fought again. You know, I mean, he still. What's so funny is he hasn't fought since that time, and now they're saying we have to wait a whole another chunk of time for him to fight, and so now he's holding up the heavyweight belt even more. And then John Jones talking about, you know, it could be like a year and a half or something until he's able to whatever to return. It's like, bro, what are we doing here? And then when you go all the way down the line. Now that, you know, they're basically gaslighting Tom Aspinall, who's the interim heavyweight champion, why do you crown somebody the interim heavyweight champion? Were you just trying to, like, make a title fight? Like, you just wanted there to be, like, another title fight on that card? Is that what that was? Because, I mean, is the interim champion, like, not supposed to, like, is he not deserving of fighting for the real title? Like, is that not guaranteed? Because I thought that was guaranteed. I mean, are we like Bellator and we're just going to have, like, interim champions, like, fight in non-title fights? Like, what's going on here? This is just Dana White acting like Tom Aspinall. Oh, he said, oh, you know, if he's, like, eager to fight, we'll get him another fight. It's like, bro, he doesn't have to take another fight. Like, that's so crazy to say that. And it's just, like, those are the points where, like, I get so aggravated with the UFC because it's like, I support Dana White all the time. Like, there's so many things. Same with Stipe. I've defended Stipe for years when people saying, oh, he can't sit out, he needs to take a fight. I've defended him up until this year. I've pretty much defended him that whole time, saying, nah, like, he deserves to get the fight he wants. And, you know, up until this year and maybe even, I think it might have been 2022 was where I started to get aggravated with it and really got sick of, you know, defending these dudes. And it's like, why do you get to sit on the belt for that long? Like, I get John Jones is the best fighter ever, but it's like, can't he just come back and fight for whoever's the champ? Like, why can't Tom Aspinall fight? Why can't Tom Aspinall be fighting Jailson Almeida for the vacant title? And then whoever wins that, John Jones can get the immediate shot. Or John Jones and Stipe, why do they need to fight for the title? Why can't they just come back and fight each other? I don't understand, like, what the reasoning is behind it. Like, you is it not a legacy fight regardless? Like, is that not a big fight regardless? I don't really understand. I mean, they say it's a heavyweight goat versus a light heavyweight goat. Okay, correct. So wouldn't that be a big fight title or not?
No, I think the UFC wants to have something at stake when the two fight. But I look at it the same way.
Yeah, but that's not fair to make Tom Aspinall wait that long, bro. I don't agree
exactly. And that's why
I mean, if they wanted to fight, then they should have fought. You know what I'm saying? Because those dudes realistically could have fought during the summer. They didn't have to wait until November. Like, John Jones fought for, like, not even 3 minutes against Cyril Gane. I don't even think he got hit with a punch. He didn't even get hit with a punch.
Did.
What the fuck? Like, yeah. If we really want to talk about it, that's ridiculous in the first place. The fact that we even had to wait until November for them to fight, like, that's the type of stuff that I mean. It's like, what is the holdup with these types of fights? I don't understand. Like, it's like, John Jones didn't even fight for 3 fucking total minutes. He didn't even get around it. He didn't even get hit. He didn't absorb 1 strike in that fight for a Cyril Gane. He didn't show us.
I wouldn't put that on him. I'll put that on the UFC. I think the UFC wanted him at CP. I think the UFC wanted them at MSG. I think they wanted
that
fight to happen at MSG.
Yeah, but it doesn't need to be on him, but it's just – but why couldn't all parties just move to – John Jones was busy saying that he was retiring or something. And then CP, you know, I want to say CP, like, wasn't ready or something during that time. It was, like, a reason why it didn't happen.
Yeah, but
it's
John
like,
said
bro,
he would retire if he beat him. He said after he fights Stipe, he beat him, he'll retire. But I think the quick fix to this
what's going to happen then, though? It's just going to go vacant again, and we're just going to wait another 2 years to get another champion? It's just like
And that's why I have the fix. The fix is my man, John.
It's like, bro, you can see how it just seems ridiculous, though. It's like, why don't you, like, put, like, bro, make them like a custom belt or something that they can fight for. Like, let's pull a boxing move. Let's make them like a GOAT title or something, and let them fight for it. We already did the BMF belt. Let's make them like something called the GOAT belt or the GOAT title, and have them fight for it, bro. Like, because we all know that win or lose, those dudes are done. Stipe is not going to lose and then take another fight. Stipe is also definitely not going to win and take another fight. Neither which one of those is he going to take another fight. Neither one of those guys are. So, that's it.
I know for sure. I think Stipe is
You want people to wait all that time for you to fight, just for you to win or lose to retire and or drop the title so it's vacant again? That's insane.
Yeah, but I had a fix. The fix is this. My man, John Jones, you need to relinquish your belt, bro. Relinquish
bro,
your
let
belt.
Let him put back. Who cares about that fight, bro? Who cares?
Exactly.
I don't care. I don't really care to see it anymore. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see it in the summer, and then they didn't do it in the summer. Then I wanted to see it in MSG. I was so excited to see it in MSG. Then they didn't do it again. I mean, I know John Jones got hurt. That's out of your control. You can't control that. But still, it's just like it just still didn't happen. So two times I was looking forward to it. The second time I was more excited probably than ever to see a John Jones fight, and then it falls through again. And then just like the sense of entitlement, like I understand John Jones has fought all the best guys for, 10, 15 years. Yeah, it's pretty much about that time, I want to say. He's fought the best guys all that time, and he hasn't even had a non-title fight in like a decade or something, Like obviously he's the best fighter ever. He's the best fighter
That's
ever.
Crazy.
He hasn't had a non-title fight in a decade. Like, he's the best fighter ever, 100%. I'm not trying to say that he's not, but it's just – and it's not to even be disrespectful, but it's just like, can we please move the division along? Like, let Tom Aspinall – he's the interim champion. It's like, if John Jones was the interim champion and he was waiting, and if he was in Tom Aspinall's shoes, do you think he would want to be able to fight for that belt, or you think he'd be saying, oh, nah, let the guy – let him sit back. What do you think he would say?
Nah, he'll be ready to go. And my thing, like, this is the fix, though. This is the fix. John Jones has to be the bigger person in this whole situation. He needs to relinquish his belt. Relinquish the belt. Cool. Everybody know you won the heavyweight title. Everybody know you did that. Fight your legacy fight against Stipe. But you have to let Aspinall move forward as the heavyweight champion. You and Stipe can have y'all legacy fight, and if you beat Stipe or if you lose to Stipe, we know Stipe is basically done. Stipe is basically done. This is his last fight. And, John, this may or may not be your last fight. But for the betterment of the sport, when you decided to move up to light heavyweight, you did the right thing. When you moved from light heavyweight to heavyweight, you did the right thing. You relinquished the belt, started training for heavyweight. You need to do the same thing in this situation. Having Aspinall just sit on the bench with a little BS interim belt does nothing for the heavyweight division. Nothing at all. It doesn't help anybody, and it only hurts Aspinall, and it only hurts the other guys in the division. Now, let's say, John, you relinquish the belt, you beat Stipe, you got one or two options. You can retire and say you're the greatest of the greats, or you can say, let me go get my belt back. Both of those things will be acceptable. But right now, you and Stipe chasing this fight over a belt that basically doesn't really compute into y'all greatness really makes no sense. When y'all two fight, everybody knows it's two GOATs going at it. You got the GOAT heavyweight. You got the GOAT light heavyweight and probably the greatest fighter of all time going at it. So the UFC, to me, y'all dropped the ball on this. You should have never put Aspinall in an interim title fight if you knew that John Jones' first fight when he come back is going to be against Stipe. Because basically what you're doing is you're telling Aspinall that, hey, man, we're giving you this little cute belt, but we really not recognizing you as the champion. And that's so disrespectful. That's just disrespectful. And the man went out there and actually pulled off the upset of upsets, because I just didn't see him winning that fight. Only way I thought he would even be competitive in that fight is if he was to make it out of the first round. But the UFC has to fix this. But I think more of the problem solving lays at the hands of John Jones. And I think he should just do the right thing and relinquish the belt and allow the heavyweight division to move forward. But, you know, right now it's a bad situation for the heavyweight division until something is done. But we have to move forward, people. Me and Keys, UFC 296 this weekend. Got Colby Covington challenging Leon Edwards. Oh, man. What a fight. But let me see how much time we got. Cause I really wanted to do this the old school way, but I don't think we got time. You know, man, me and Keith, my old school fight shows. Oh, let's see, we got 25 minutes. Okay, Keith, real quick. What fighter you got your eye on this weekend? What fighter will you be anxious to watch?
Oh, I'm about to pull the whole card up right now. Hold up, UFC.com. 2 seconds.
I think, man, you're going to have the same answer.
Let me see. What fighter do we have our eye on? I mean, there's a lot of stuff to have your eye on this card. It's kind of crazy. Let me see. My girl Irene Aldana's on the card, I'll tell you that.
There she is.
She's not the one.
I don't like what
she's gonna. Huh?
I don't like her fight placement.
Yeah, she's a prelim co-main event. I don't really like that. She's gonna win that fight though, I'll tell you that. She's gonna win that fight.
Yeah. I think she's in that position on the card because of her opponent.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, people that they're trying to build her like name back up because like the way she looked against Nunes, you know what I mean? But it's Nunes though. Like she's the best in 135 division. She's the best fighter there. So that's really what it comes down to. But I'll tell you one thing. Okay, we got Lonzo Menafield. I like Lonzo Menafield. I like his fights. I like him at plus 210 underdog too, man. I think Lonzo can beat this guy. Yeah. My boy Randy Brown is on this card too, bro.
Yep.
Like Randy Brown. Martin Boudet is on the card. Andre Fury is on the card. Lucas Almeida. Cody Durden, Lonzo Menafield, Dustin Jacoby, Casey O'Neill. Oh my goodness, Cody Garbrandt,
Andre Fili's
in the card. Josh Emmett, Bryce Mitchell. I think Bryce gonna win that fight on short notice. Luque versus Gary, and Gary's in the card. That's true. I'm a fan of Ian Gary. Okay, so here's how we go. I'm going to tell you right now. The fighter I'm going to have my eye on this card is Ariane Lipsky. I think she's adorable. She is an absolute queen. I can't wait to watch you fight, Lipsky. You know, I'm rooting for you all the way. Casey O'Neill is pretty good. She's pretty damn good. She's only coming off her first career loss. But you ever seen Ariane Lipsky, bro? That's Keith's type right there. You know Ariane Lipsky? My type.
Yes.
That's the girl, like, I got to pull up on it, like, with no hesitation type. You know what I mean? I'll figure it out when I get there. That's what she's looking like. But, yeah, so the fighter, Lipsky will be the fighter I have my eye on. And then the other fight, the fight overall that I'm going to have my eye on is I mean, I love Colby Covington. He's one of my favorites. But overall, bro, I'm really getting to see Tony Ferg versus Patty Pimblett, man. I'm really having my eye on Tony. I'm really like looking forward to watching Tony, man. Obviously he's, I'm not saying he's like the main attraction of the card, but like I'm really looking forward to watching him versus Patty Pimblett, man. This is a crazy matchup. You know, I think Tony, I mean, this is like one generation versus the next generation in the 155 division, and it's really, I'm wondering if, you know, Tony Ferguson is going to have David Goggins in his corner. David Goggins is, you know David Goggins. If you saw him, you know who that is. And, I just can't wait, bro. I'm looking forward to it. Tony's there. I mean, obviously, there's a lot to have your eye on here. Shavkat and Wonderboy, Pantoja, Roy, there's a lot here, man. Kobe Covington, I can't wait to watch Kobe, man. He's one of my favorites. Who you got your eye on?
The fight I got my eye on is the last person you just talked about with Tony Ferguson. I think this fight should be a fight he should win. I don't think Patty Pimblett is that skilled. I don't think he's that good. I think he's more hype than what people say. And if we're being honest, he should have lost his last fight. There's no way he beat Gordon in that last fight. Gordon beat him. And they gave him a unanimous decision. But I feel he lost that fight, and I think you felt the same way. Tony, bro, you can't go from being on a double-digit win streak to approaching a double-digit losing streak. That's probably unheard of. But I got my own Ferguson, man. This is a fight that I think he should win, and it's a fight that I'm for sure he has to win. I don't see the UFC cutting him because he's so damn entertaining and he's good for the brand. But how do you keep a guy on a 7-fight losing streak? So Tony is the guy, is the fighter I got my own. And the fight I got my own is Rachmaninoff versus Steven Thompson. I think this fight could be a showstopper. Both guys are super aggressive. Steven Thompson has some of the best striking in the UFC. I really, really like this fight. And Wonderboy, he's a plus 475. Rachmaninoff is a minus 725. I don't gamble, but that would be one that I would look at. I think this fight has the potential to be fight of the night. But that's a bang of a fight, man. It's definitely a bang of a fight. Like me and Keith said, there are some fights up here, some fighters up here. In early prelims, you got Randy Brown fighting. You got Andre Feely on the early prelims. You got Alonzo Minifield on the early prelims. And then on the prelims, you got Josh Emmett, Bryce Mitchell, Irene Aldana, Corey Garbrandt taking on Brian Kelleher. And then the up-and-coming Ariana Lipsky. So this card is full of good fights. There's something out there for everybody. You got people that wrestle, stand up. You got jiu-jitsu. There's something out there for everybody in this card. But, all right, Keys, we got to do it. Where you want to start?
I got a suggestion,
man.
Too. I got a suggestion,
Go ahead.
Too.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking what we could do is we'll predict the entire card, but we'll do – I'm thinking all the prelims, so we'll do the early prelims and the actual prelims. We'll do them off in like a lightning round. Like we'll literally just
okay.
You'll propose the fight, and we'll both just
okay.
say our pick. We won't explain them. So we'll literally just
okay.
You know what I mean? Like ESPN panels do. We'll literally just give our pick. That's it. All the way up to the main card, and then maybe, depending on the time, we'll see where we're at, about, like, giving a little bit more. But honestly, we could even do that all the way up. We could do it all the way. Maybe we even do it all the way to the main event if you want. I'll be down to do that the whole way.
I just feel like, Tom,
without going, like, crazy over, we won't be able to break, like,
yeah.
get in depth. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
With all five main cards.
So let's jump into it. We got the early prelims. First fight on the main prelims. You got Randy Brown, -275, going against Muslim Salikhov at +225. Every time I get high on Randy Brown, he lose. But I'm taking Randy Brown in this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Randy Brown myself, man. Randy Brown's a dog. And this is a guy that he's not gonna go out easy, you know what I mean? I like Randy Brown all day. My bad. I started going into it. Randy Brown's the pick.
All right, next up we got Martin Bude, 13-1, going against Shamil Gaziz, 11-0. Bude is -40. Gaziz is +120, so this is kind of close. I don't know either one of these guys, but I think I'm going to take the underdog in this fight. I think I'm going to take Gaziz with his 11-0 record. So I'm taking Gaziz. We're both taking Gaziz. Okay. Next up, we got 22-10 Andre Feely taking on Lucas Almeida at 14-2. Feely -180, Almeida +150. I want to go Almeida, but I like the way Andre Feely fights, so I'm going to take Andre Feely in this one.
I'm going Andre Feely, too, all day.
All right, these next two guys, I don't know. We got Tagir Olubakov, 14-2, -170, going up against Cody Durden, 16-4-1, +140. Based off the record, I'm gonna go with he's one of Khabib's guys, so I'm gonna go with Tagir in this one.
I'm going Tagir Ulanbekov myself.
Okay, next up, Dustin Jacoby, 19-7-1, -275, taking on Alonzo Minifield, 14-3-1, at +225. I'm going with the underdog. I'm going with Lonzo Minifield to pull the upset in this one. I think he beats Dustin Jacoby.
Honestly, Alonzo Minifield myself. Last might be my favorite underdog in the card. I'm going Minifield.
Prelims. Casey O'Neill, 9-1. -195 going against Ariane Lipsky, 16-8, +165. Ariane is a very attractive young lady, but I'm gonna take Casey O'Neill in this fight.
I'm going Lipsky. She's a queen.
Okay. Next up, we got Cody Garbrandt, -200, taking on Brian Kelleher, +170. I don't trust Cody Garbrandt's defense. I still think he's susceptible to hooks. And I'm going with Brian Kelleher in this fight.
I'm going Brian Kelleher, too. I can't trust Cody.
Next up, we got Irene Aldana, 14-7, -190. Taking on Carol Rosa, who I don't know, who is 17-5 and a +160. I think Irene Aldana gets back on the winning track, lets everybody know why she's one of the top female fighters in the game.
I got Irene Aldana, too, all day. Best at 135.
On the main event for the prelims, we got Josh Emmett, +185, taking on Bryce Mitchell, -225. Bryce Mitchell being the last short-notice replacement. But I like Bryce Mitchell's ground game. I like his overall style. I think Josh Emmett is a one-trick pony with just a stand-up game. I think Bryce Mitchell wins this fight.
Bryce Mitchell's about to roll him.
Next up, we head to the main card. Vicente Luque, 22-9-1, +290, taking on Ian Garrett, 13-0, -385. This is a very interesting fight. I'm going with Luque.
I'm going Ian Garry.
All right, next up, Tony Ferguson, 26-9. Good gracious. Plus 255 going against Paddy Pimblett, 23-0. 20 wins, 3 losses, 0 ties. Paddy is a modest 320 favorite. I'm going with my man Ferguson, man. I'm just not a fan of Paddy Pimblett, and I think Ferguson needs this fight.
All right, so I'm going. So the pick is Tony, Paddy on the show, just to go opposite Ali, but the pick is Tony. And
okay,
I think this is the type of. Now I won't even break it down. The pick is Tony.
All right, next up, 17-0, Shavkat Rakhmonov, -725. Going against Stephen Thompson, 17-6-1, +475. Who you got, Keys?
Shavkat's a dog, man. I got Shavkat.
As much as I want to go with Stephen Thompson, I'm going with the favorite, Shavkat also. Next up, we had a flyweight. This is the flyweight, right? Flyweight title fight. Alexander Pantoja, 26-5, -190. Going against Brandon Royval, 15-6, +160. Who you got, Keys?
I'm going Pantoja. He showed a lot in that last fight, and he's better than I thought. I was calling for both these guys to get the shot, but Pantoja is even better than I thought he was. I got Pantoja instead.
Yeah, I'm going Pantoja also. He's already beat this guy. And one thing about Royval, he just seems he can't beat top flight fighters. He lost Pantoja, he lost Moreno, he lost Casey Kenney. So, yeah, I worry about this guy going against top flight competition. Next up, we have the main event.
Let's do a breakdown on this one. Let's go full on this one.
Yes, sir. All right, man, we got on Leon Edwards, 21-3-0, -170, taking on Kobe Covington, 17-3, +140. We got Southpaw and Leon, Orthodox and Kobe. One thing about Kobe is his pace, and one thing about Leon is he's very deliberate. I like Kobe Covington to win this fight. I think Kobe Covington's pace is going to overwhelm Leon Edwards. I think Kobe is going to speed Leon up, make him fight at his pace, and I don't think Leon can do it. I just think this is a bad matchup for Leon. Kobe is definitely. He's one of the top guys, man. Even though I don't like his stick and his gimmick, once he get in the cage, man, he's definitely a top 10 fighter in the world. And I think he goes out there and get it done. Hopefully he don't get in there and call out Kamaru Usman. Hopefully he just lets that play out and, you know, go about his business. But I got Kobe Covington. I'm going to say unanimous decision, man. I got Kobe Covington.
I got Covington myself. I think that what's happening with this fight week, and I've been reading what a lot of people are saying, I really think that people, like, they're using their hatred for Kobe and them their dislike and not being a fan of him, letting that cloud their judgment at this fight, and it's also making them overhype Leon Edwards. Leon is not that good, and I think it's making people forget that. Leon was not dominant. You know what I mean? Where was he dominant in the Usman fight? I mean, the first fight, are we forgetting that he was getting destroyed in the first fight and then basically landed a Hail Mary head kick in the last 2 minutes of the fight that won him the title. Did we forget that he lost 24 out of 25 minutes of that fight? That Usman was working him, and he was beaten down, gassed, depleted, you know, depressed. He was out of it. And then in the second fight, there really wasn't much really to go off in that second fight. I mean, where did Leon look like this dominant? And even besides that, people also forget that while Usman was destroying Leon in the first fight, which is really where we saw, you know, that was the more action-packed fight, you know, out of the two fights, the second and third fight. And, you know, Usman, we're also forgetting that Colby Covington pushes debatably the craziest pace in the UFC. Like, his pace is insane. The pace that he fights at and how relentless he is just like Merab. Like, Merab and Covington, I'm surprised those dudes don't, like, train together because they have the exact same style. They do the same exact thing. And I can't believe anybody could say that they do a different thing. You want to say that Covington is American wrestling and Merab is Sambo? Like, that might be the only difference, but they do the same exact thing. They do the same exact thing. Like, there is no difference to me between the fight that Colby Covington fought versus Jorge Masvidal and the fight that Merab Dvalishvili fought against Peter Yan. That's the same fight. That's the same fight. Or Covington versus Robbie Lawler and Merab versus Peter Yan. That's the same fight. Like, those dudes, when they're on their game, they do the exact same thing. You know, Merab has, you know, tried to strike a little bit too much in certain fights, you know, early on, like he did versus Marlon Moraes. He originally got rocked and then came back and knocked out Moraes. But when he's actually fighting his fight and using his tools, he's the same fighter as Colby Covington. And I think both of them are the best fighter in their division. Leon Edwards is not a better fighter than Colby Covington at all. People talk about the age. The age, look, we just saw Glover Teixeira win the title at 42 years of age. So what are you guys talking about with the age then? It's like, didn't we just learn that it can be done? Glover Teixeira looked incredible. You know what I mean? And he won the belt at 42 years old, dominated Jan Blachowicz. I mean, made him look terrible in there. Won the belt at 42 years old. So we're not doing that with the whole age thing. You know, oh, Kobe's 35. Fighters over 35, never won a belt. It's like, well, we just watched Glover Teixeira do it. So I don't really know what to say about that. I'm also quite sure that I want to say DC even won the belt at 40 years old too. But, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what he won the heavyweight title. But, oh, well, Covington, I think, is the better fighter, and I think they use, you know, people's hatred of Kobe is making them overrate Leon. When has Leon, who has he fought to show that he's dominant against that style? I've seen people say, like, oh, he's dominant against wrestlers. How? When has he looked dominant against wrestlers? I have yet to see this. He didn't look dominant against Usman. I don't know. I hope that's not what that says. Where is that coming from? You know what I'm saying? I got Colby Covington, man. You know, decision. I think he's going to work this guy. You know what I mean? I think there's going to be a lot of mad fans on Saturday night is what's going to happen.
I think people be more bad about what he's going to say out of his mouth if he wins. Because I don't think his performance is going to make people mad. Because on with you, to me, his pace is just ridiculous. If he comes in and fights at his pace, I think he overwhelms Leon with just pace alone. So it's going to be hopefully Leon has ramped up his training to fight at Kobe's pace. But, you know, man, it's to be an interesting fight. That being said, any last words, bro?
Nah, man. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Stay positive. Focus, you know, focus on your mental health. Make sure you're good. I've been struggling a whole lot myself this past couple weeks, especially the past couple days. And, yeah, I had a pretty tough day yesterday, not going to lie. So take care of yourself. That's probably where I'll just leave it at. And, you know what I mean? That's pretty much it. You know, stay positive, enjoy the fights, take care of yourselves. That's it.
Yeah, you know, it's the holiday season. You know, I know this time of year can be stressful, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, a lot of us try to make sure that we are taking care of other folks, make sure that, you know, that certain people can have a good holiday. That lives to be very stressful. Do what you can, do what you feel, do as you can. Once you feel like you're being stressed out, stop, take a breath, remove yourself from the situation, and reevaluate the situation. If the situation, if you can't, you know, operate within it, remove yourself from it. Like Key said, you have to protect your mental health. And this is one of the times of the year that really, really puts a lot on people. That being said, take care of you, take care of yourself, take care of others. As always, we end the show with a peace.